I would like to call to order the February 8th meeting of the Candia Community Power Committee. And if we would all rise and pledge allegiance to the flag. That's how we start.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if everyone knows, but I got an email from Beth Chalbeck this past week saying that she was going to, because of time constraints, beg out of her position on this committee. So we are down to five individuals, three of which are in the room at the moment. And I believe there's a couple trying to get on by Zoom. So I will just do roll call.
Bill Saffy,
Richard Snow, Kevin Coughlin.
I'm done. Where are you? Under entered the waiting room.
Yeah, you got to let her in.
Oh.
Dick, can you let Brenda in?
Brenda's in the waiting room. Could you admit her?
It's right there. It's down on his laptop.
And admit right there on the blue.
Oops. Yeah.
All right. Hello, my dear. Oh, you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yes.
Okay.
So present are Bill Saffy, Dick Snow, myself, and you by Zoom. Ryan is in the airport. He may not be able to make it. We have three town residents also in attendance that are interested in additional information related to the entire program and what we're doing. I'm going to recap the deliberative session that took place this past Saturday, and warrant article 18 was related to this project, and the town did approve that it would go on the ballot and it will be voted on March, whatever that day is. And if the town approves, the PUC will issue the allowance for us to enter into an agreement with Standard Power and Good Energy at a rate that is to be determined based on what the market at that time provides to us. But we will be bundling together our energy requirements with, I think, six other towns going out for a large, a large buy. So I think I might just, Emily, you're on mute. I might kind of turn it over to you and let you fill in any blanks if I left them out related to the deliberative session that come to mind. If we do get approval from the town, which we anticipate we will, we're going to be in a group of six other towns. Is that what you said earlier?
Well, so all along the way, there are options, but you are on the same timeline for six other towns. That's right. Okay. At the moment. So assuming they all pass, then there could be a group of seven towns with a mix of Eversource and New Hampshire Electric Co-op as their service provider. So so that's an opportunity. And right now, the way we work, because there are no existing programs in New Hampshire, we just keep trying to work on critical paths. So the next step you could take is to, after town meeting, I guess we're waiting till then, would be, the next step is the committee to approve the plan, and hopefully tonight or soon. Then the select board approve the plan and town meeting, and then after that we can go for Public Utility Commission approval. So, and that's the critical path. They take 60 days. And then, but then we can get pricing and go for launch. So as soon as this summer, maybe, and you know, very likely in the fall.
Okay. So our big task this evening is to approve the community draft power plan that we have been going over a couple different times in the past. This has been posted on the town website. I don't know if you've seen it. You probably haven't printed out the 40 pages or whatever it is.
Has anything changed?
Since the last draft, we had some conversations and we all thought it looked good, but I don't think there's been any substantive changes since then. Has there, Emily?
No.
Okay.
No changes. No.
Okay. So on the agenda tonight would be to vote to accept this plan and have it be the plan that is presented to the Board of Selectmen and the PUC, assuming we can't present to the Board of Selectmen until the town approves us to go with this project, right?
So Kevin, actually, the select board can approve the plan before it goes to town meeting, and that would be kind of a normal course of things. I realize they declined to, hear it on the 23rd, but there's an opportunity to ask them on the 27th if they, if there's reason to do so. I think it's also fine if they go to town meeting. I'm just saying that the normal course of things would be for them to approve it beforehand.
Yes, we tried to get
the bill from the selectmen, though they didn't want to do that.
Andrea, when we changed this meeting and said we needed to approve this plan, Andrea reached out and said, should I put you on the agenda for Monday? And they said, yes, please. And today I found out that the Board of Selectmen said there's no real reason for us to approve this until the town votes and it accepts it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay.
It's a public meeting.
Okay. So, would they, if the town voted to approve it, would they be likely to stall it if they didn't approve it? Because I noticed that the deliberation session, they didn't all vote for it to go to the ballot.
The issue, as I understand it, is as New Englanders, we don't like opt-out programs. So if you do nothing, you will be automatically opted into it unless you say, I don't want to be.
Right.
And that was the concern of a couple of the selectmen.
Okay.
So, but we're making it very abundantly clear on the Boy Scout packet that's going out, explaining that this is an opt-out solution and you can opt out and opt back in if you choose to.
Right.
So there's no impact to the town budget. There's no impact in any way to the town. So I don't know why they would decline to.
But if they did decline, would that go against the vote if it got approved?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I'm curious. Kevin,
Emily, did you hear
Kevin?
That?
Kevin, could I jump in for a quick question, please?
Please do.
Could you ask everybody to state their name so I can put it in correctly in the minutes?
Excellent idea.
Thank you. I can't find the hand to put my hand up.
Oh,
sorry, I jumped in, but I can't find it.
All right. Hi, Brenda. It's Amy James.
I know who you are, but thank you for the minutes.
You're welcome.
Steve Pettibar.
Peterbaugh.
Okay, I don't know how to spell that.
I do, okay. Doctor.
And this is my wife Deb is here too.
Hi Deb.
Hi.
Thank you.
All right. So Emily, if the voters approve it in the ballot, can the Board of Selectmen deny it in your experience? Or and if they said no, what happens?
So the select board has overall control over the program. So it goes forward at their discretion. I think they're looking for the townspeople to give them the idea that they want them to expend the, you know, effort to take the next steps to approve the plan. I think I did review the rules and law because we have had select boards approve it before town meeting, and it really doesn't require that. We just need them to approve, to send the application to the Public Utility Commission. So it's a little technical there, but I don't feel concerned about the select board vote. I think that these programs don't work if they're opt in. It's really not an option. And we've had a warm reception before. So I think that they'll move forward with it. It's only default customers that get opted in. So you move from one default, a utility default, into program default. All customers on competitive supply are opt in already. So it's not as big of a lift. And soon we'll have prices for other towns, but if we do get Candia going, once people have prices in their hand, it simplifies everything a lot to say, these are the choices, these are the prices, this is exactly what I want to do. And I don't anticipate the select board changing their support for the program overall. And they'll just have to, they just need that extra step of that it doesn't work with it being an opt-in. That's not an option. It's not a way we can run the program.
All right. I would like to get one piece of business out of the way. If someone would make a motion that we accept the draft community power plan as written, we can vote on that.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Bill Safi makes that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Who's Emily?
Emily Manns is the project coordinator for Standard Power. She's based in Peterborough, so rather than have her drive an hour and plus each way, we think that Zoom makes a lot more sense.
She's what we're referring to, but
she's been. Sorry about that. She's been our point of contact, and in fact, in the other companies that we interviewed, there was one other strong candidate, but Emily, to me, was one of the deciding factors because she's so knowledgeable and helpful and available. So we opted to go with Standard Power. One of the many strengths was hers. Okay.
There we go.
So we have a motion.
Thanks for asking.
We have a motion to accept the community power plan as drafted. We have a second on it. Any discussion about it?
As long as nothing's changed.
Okay. I think we vote to accept. Is that the procedure? Dick?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Brenda, if she had a hand, I think she's waving. Okay. Aye. Aye. Unanimous.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, the Community Power Committee has accepted this plan, which will be presented to the PUC, correct?
Congratulations. It will go. So Kevin and I had a discussion this afternoon. Normally, we would have ask the select board for their approval, and then the day after that, we would send it up to the Public Utility Commission. Since they're not going to meet or they're not going to look at it on the 23rd, we're just going to wait and see whether town meeting will happen before we send it up to the Public Utility Commission or we ask the select board. Or there might be the opportunity to just send it to the Public Utility Commission, but that's going off. That's a step we haven't taken before, is to send it to the Public Utility Commission before the select board's approved it. So all this is going to happen in the next few weeks. One thing's going to come in order for the other, and conversation was just about staying with the group. Nobody wants to be the last community to, you know, pulling up the rear. So I'll keep Kevin informed about whether that becomes an issue with Candia, and we can revisit it before the next select board meeting, if necessary.
Okay.
Can I ask something?
Please.
Emily, when both you and Kevin presented the plan at that point to the Board of Selectmen, they were on board. What they did was they did a majority vote. It was 3-2 in favor of putting it on the warrant article. So I don't think we're going to have a problem with the Board of Selectmen.
Brenda, do you have the date of that vote? So you're right, that could be that could be all we need.
I can get you that date.
As long as if it's the same plan, then that would be all we need. Yep.
Yeah, we didn't make any changes since that. And when they did all the warrant article reviews, they did majority vote it to go to the warrant article. Mm-hmm. And that was only probably 3 weeks ago, but I'll get you that date.
Okay. And I take if you have the date, I try and get them the screenshot of the minutes or something like that. So
okay.
I can get that offline. But thank you. Yeah, that
might be it. That's probably why they opted not to have it at Monday's meeting. Because they have they'll probably, after it goes to town and if it gets support and voted in, then they may go over it more closely, our draft, and make some edits. But I think they're good for this. That's my understanding, at least.
Thank you for clarifying, Brenda. I think that might be the step. So then there would be nothing standing in the way of going to the Public Utility Commission, and we would do that within, you know, the next couple of weeks.
Because they have 60 days to review it, so they wouldn't be done until after the town votes anyways.
Right. That's right. But the two things happen in parallel. They can happen in parallel.
Okay. That was the only major piece of business that we had to attend to today. Emily, anything else on your side that you think we need to do?
Well, no, especially if Brenda's right about them approving that plan, then I just got my notes out of order, because that would be well, the other thing is that, and actually that's why I was looking at my phone, is the Boy Scout troop, the publication. So I just had to figure out how to pay them, and I just saw their email. I think they're sending me an invoice, so I'll take care of that right after the meeting. But so that'll be in the voter guide, which will be, and unless you want to do other types of outreach between now and voting, and if you want a fresh, flyer handout or, materials. I don't know, would Beth be willing to post something again on Facebook, though she's,
Yes, she said absolutely. Okay. If you need anything on the community Facebook page, she would be happy to help us with that.
Okay. So I think we should do that, at least, you know, before voting. I don't think we need to do it too, relentlessly, but I think a couple of notices would be good. And then, again, I don't know what, if posting it around town at this point helps, but if you want to post it, let me know.
Andy Jones is employed at the library and just suggested that we have handouts there as well, which is easy to do.
And I do some at the post office too, I think. Just put them on that cork board.
Okay.
People do look there and take things off of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Question. So, Kevin, do you want to do the FAQ then? Does that, would that be a good handout, do you think?
Yes, and I believe I have some. One second.
Okay. Emily, did you put in that thing in the Scouts package?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying, Dick. I did. I'm sorry, I should have copied you because... just so you could see it got done, but I'm still paying them. So I'm going to pay them after this meeting, but we just updated the FAQ a little bit. So it should look, I hope it looks good in print, the bigger font. And so Yeah.
So I can either use these FAQs that I have from previously, or I can just make copies of the Boy Scout one.
Right. They're very similar. They have a, you know, basically the same information. It's just they look a little bit different.
Okay.
We're always editing it slightly. It's hard to make it just right. So using them both would be fine.
Okay. There was a question from the floor.
So talking to Amy yesterday at the library is what got me here. I guess the question on, since we're getting ready to sign on the dotted line for our solar. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out about, you know, she said we might want to opt out because of the solar, and I'm trying to figure all that out. So
it depends, I believe, on the size of your array and how much power you're generating. If it is more than you consume, at least from what I understand from Emily, that you may want to opt out, because I believe your reimbursement rate would be at the higher Eversource rate. Is that correct?
Yes. So my experience with systems is that the company, unless you deliberately build it so it's bigger than your current consumption, you're probably going to use more than you consume. And then being part of the program should be a benefit. As I said, there's no programs in New Hampshire yet. So you're not going to do worse than you would do if there was no program at all. That's important to note, that if you had to opt out to do the best financially for yourself, then that's, you know, it's still better to have a program for other people to have a choice. But if it's sized the way I know systems to be sized, and you consume more than you produce, then you'll get program rates that are less than the default and should come out financially ahead.
Well, obviously if you don't use any electricity on the grid, it doesn't matter, right?
Right. But you're net metered. So so they have a little different, what they buy it for is a little different than what they sell it for, but.
Right. So I'm not sure what do they have to pay you back at some kind of peak rate, or is it basically whatever the monthly bill rate is what they reimburse you? You know, you're a net metering user yourself.
So I'm on the early tariff. So I'm net metered 1-to-1, and the second the tariff you'll be on, M2, is more complicated, and because you get 25% of distribution or something. I've forgotten the details, but we're talking about community power, so I want to stick with that. Like, I think doing your project will pencil out if you've got the, you know, a few years to wait for it to,
return on investment.
To pay back. Like it's extremely, you know, you get a few years in and then you're just making money. It's free electricity. So if you've got the capital, you should definitely do the project. Whether you can participate in community power will depend on the, on how much you produce relative to how much you consume and program details. But my understanding is that right now I have to be on utility default. And actually I didn't ask you, are you in Eversource or New Hampshire Electric Co-op territory?
Eversource.
Okay. So Eversource, you know, the default rate is so high that if you're using more electricity than you produce, then it's very, very likely to pencil out that you'll participate in the program, you'll stay in the program.
Okay.
But we have net metering customers are one of a handful of special cases that if you couldn't figure it out, then we will help you.
What's that process look like? Because it's very cut and dry for many people, right? You said everyone eligible will be automatically opted in, right? So New Hampshire Co-op, if they're running right now at 16 cents and we come in at 17 cents, they wouldn't be eligible. Is that right?
So were there two ways? We don't know how we're handling that. You're not the only town. We have, I think we have four towns with co-op customers. Well, three towns that have both kinds of customers. So, and actually the co-op price right now is 14 cents. So if we came in at 15 cents, that's still 5 cent savings for Eversource customers, but it would put the co-op customers underwater.
Right.
The way we're talking about doing it is making the co-op customers opt in. So down the road, our rate might be better. We plan to compete with the co-op rate. We plan to launch better than the co-op rate. But we won't enroll people at a higher rate. We won't start the program if we can't figure out how to take care of the default customers. And we do feel confident in general that we can beat the co-op rate. So we're planning on being, you know, well right. under Eversource and a little bit under the co-op rate.
So solar customers are kind of considered corner cases that would take special attention based on their specific uses?
Well, just because there's four different options. So, and they all might have very small pluses and minuses. So then if you have a small cost to being in the program, you might want to do that and be 100% renewable, for instance. So with help with the program, if you just want to change a product or opt in or opt out, you can call the supplier, you can call the utility, and they can help you with that. But our number will be on there too for anyone who has questions. There are like people with electric assistance will probably be calling us concerned that their program benefits will be affected. And the answer is their program benefits are calculated separately. They're not affected. But that kind of customer, they're customers that need assistance, and that's what we'll provide.
Okay. Does that help? Do you have questions?
Okay, I'm totally confused. He'll explain to me later. I'm not stupid, but
one of the things that's interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The goal, it's a multifaceted goal with this project. One is to provide lower cost electricity. But the other aspect, which is one of the real prime aspects, is to increase the options for higher levels of renewable energy. Some people are very concerned, and some people that I know said, I want 100% renewable energy. I don't care what it costs. So that will be one of the options. Most of the people, we did a town survey, most of the people said, I want the cheapest solution. The default solution will be slightly above the state requirement for renewables. So the state requirement right now is 23%, 23.5 maybe. So we might come in
requirement for what? I'm not quite.
For energy.
So of all the power that comes down the wire from Eversource, 23% comes from renewable resources.
Oh, okay.
So
hydro and whatever.
Right. So our default might be 26%. So we get an attractive price and slightly more renewable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted the cheapest you can get, you go back to the state default of whatever, 23%. You could have 50% or 100%. Mm-hmm. So it's a choice that when you opt in, if you do nothing, you're gonna get the default, which is slightly above state requirement. But at the time of signing up, you could say, no, I want the cheapest, or I want 50% or 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Can people opt in and out?
Yes.
Just like, I mean, I assume so.
Yes.
So like at some point, somebody could say, they may have opted out, and then they say, oh, maybe this is a good idea. They can opt right. in.
So when we got involved in this, I learned a lot, and Brenda and I said, direct energy, like Eversource is going at 22 cents. We got on direct energy for an 18-month solution at 13 cents or something like that. So we're going to opt out originally, but we're going to opt back in.
When
our contract expires.
Yeah.
Unless they come in at lower than 13 cents. So.
I can't resist clarifying, Kevin, that you don't have to opt out because you're not going to be automatically enrolled. So you're on competitive supply, You can opt in, but you don't have to take any action. You'll stay on your current contract. Okay. We're not going after anybody's contract. That's not, this is about savings for that default customer that's paying, you know, 20, 22 cents a kilowatt hour on Eversource and just has no other option and now, or no other good option. And now they're going to get a better rate and some consumer protections around participating in the market that, you know, because net metering customers, I mean, you're going to be 100% renewable. I mean, you know, in a net metered sense. So you have that renewable, you know, aspect as well as the cost savings already. This is a program for other customers, but, you know, we want to make sure that we want everybody to participate in Canada, you know, in your community. And so we'll, you know, provide benefits that we can. The program even in the future anticipates having incentives for local renewable energy. It's just, we're not doing anything like that upon launch. That's not part of the initial program. We'll get a contract in place and then look over what other things could benefit the program and the town. And then on renewal, maybe there would be something else to, maybe we could buy your RECs, your local RECs from your rooftop solar installation at that point, if that is, you know, advantageous to the program and to you.
Yeah, I understand that REC reimbursements have gone down precipitously.
Significantly. Okay. You would think with the push for green energy, they would have gone up, but they significantly went down. But it's something, you know, selling back is something, right, on top of the credit. So it's good.
Can I ask you who you work with for your RECs?
Yeah, I have an independent person, Paul Button.
I was talking to somebody at a night at CYAA, and he's one of the Boy Scout guys, and
yeah,
and he said the price of RECs is going down. Like, he's getting like $2 a REC, and it used to be like 30, 40, 50 bucks a REC.
He's getting $2 now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting 32 right now. Yeah. I used to be getting like 80,
okay,
which was a lot better.
Right.
So it's gone down, but I don't know why he's getting two.
Yeah.
That's,
and maybe I misheard him, but I was pretty sure that was what he said.
Yeah.
So,
she wants to know what a REC is.
a renewable energy credit.
Yeah. Oh, the credit.
Yeah. Okay. So you use them and you sell them, which is kind of.
Yeah.
But you accrue them because you're using solar.
Right. And you're selling back what you're using, which in theory makes no sense, but it's a nice benefit.
Right. You're selling back what you don't use.
No, that is on top of it.
So.
Yeah, so a REC is generated when you produce renewable energy. So just by producing, your rooftop solar panels will produce renewable energy credits. If there's no mechanism for you to just retire them and enjoy that 100% renewable energy yourself, you have to register them anyway. I guess you could probably register them and retire them, but so you'll sell them probably as part of the economics of your project. And it's still great because you're building renewable energy in the region. But you are selling away the renewable energy aspect of your project.
So if you generate 100 kilowatts and you use 80, do you get RECs for 20 or 100?
100.
Okay.
100, yeah.
Who's paying for those RECs?
But you also, you sell away the renewable energy aspect. That's the long and the short of it. Only one entity gets to use the renewable energy certificates you generate.
Okay.
It's called decoupling. It is a way to create markets for renewable energy. So renewable energy producers produce electrons and they produce renewable energy certificates or credits, and they and they're regulated, they're national markets, they're local markets. It's just the way renewable energy is bought and sold and verified. That's the important thing for your program, is that that's how they're verified. So, okay. So the program could buy RECs from local rooftop solar producers. And we intend to do that. We intend to create that market, if it doesn't exist already, to produce, because if, you know, but again, that's a market. So we'll figure out how to, it benefits buyers and sellers.
Emily, who's buying these RECs? Like, where's the money come from?
So the renewable portfolio standard, the utilities buy RECs to satisfy their renewable portfolio standard. And then we're going to buy RECs for your program. We buy class one New Hampshire RECs, which is probably what Amy's selling. So we could buy the RECs from Amy's rooftop solar project as well as, yeah.
So when the state mandates that Eversource provide 23% renewable, they can say we have 23% renewable because they buy RECs from people that have solar or hydro. Is that correct?
In essence, yes. There's a bit of a complication there. So this is a,
without getting in the weeds. That's okay. I know.
Yeah. So let me say it this way: for people who have solar arrays on their homes, you want them to sell their RECs. And the reason is that if they don't sell them, they go for free to the utility. It's it's just a quirk of the law. And so you want to encourage people to sell the RECs, and eventually the program, hopefully we can buy them so we keep them local and retire them. But
I would contend it's not a quirk. It was written in there on purpose.
Yeah. Right.
How many RECs are created by 100 watts? Like, how does that work?
It's a 100 watt RECs. I believe.
Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like it's like one rec per it's not per megawatt hour. So it's not per megawatt hour per year. So 1,000 kilowatt hours per year is one rec.
Right. So I'm planning on going with a Tesla Powerwall, which means that the way I understand it, we power that up first, and then anything over that, it goes back into the grid, to the utility. So I'm just getting a second opinion on that. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, you'll be buying and selling all the time. I keep track of mine on a spreadsheet so I can calculate, how much I'm behind the meter, for instance. But you'll be buying and selling all the time. Well, you fill your battery first and your home, you'll use the power right on site when you're using electricity, and when you have access, you'll sell it to the grid. I'm about 30% behind the grid, behind the meter. I'm not.
Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm. You have a question mark face on right now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking through it. I mean, I definitely want to vote for it because I think the important thing is to give people options.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. So I have questions about how it will work in my case, but I think I have to kind of wait for that.
I had that sense
yes.
as well.
Yeah, right. Okay. So that, yes, but I wanted to support this because I wanted to go through.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure, like, I know I went to the deliberation session and I was like, why are people voting against? On this election, but I don't know. So I think it will pass as long as everyone votes. And like Brenda said, if they already gave their approval, it should be fine.
I believe you're correct.
Okay.
And
I do think hardly anyone knows about it in town.
I agree.
I wouldn't have talked to you yesterday.
Yeah, because our daughter would be interested in.
Yeah.
You know.
So I do. That was one of the reasons I came too, because I can give more stuff out at the library. I know there's a lot of people that have a problem with electric in town. Mm-hmm. It's a constant thing I hear.
So the thing is, they cannot guarantee that there will be a
right.
a savings.
I understand.
But the body of knowledge nationally shows conclusively that they can almost always beat the market, sometimes by a wide margin. So overall, people are going to win.
And just knowing that they will have the option, I don't think a lot of people really know yet.
And a lot of people don't know enough to go online to read all.
Right.
Well, and also even for the options for this to change suppliers. Some people do, but some people don't.
Correct.
Right.
You know, so.
And we don't start a program that doesn't have savings. So we can, we do promise savings upon launch. That, you know, we can say that that's a goal of the program is to deliver rate relief now to default service customers, and you know, in particular in Eversource. So that gives people time to, well, and they'll get things in the mail about the program, but that gives people some time to think about what they want to, how the program's going to work and what it's going to mean for them, and to iron out those details.
Okay. So our outstanding point of business for this evening was the plan which we voted to accept. I don't believe there's any other outstanding old business unless something comes to mind.
Nope.
Or is there any additional business that you know of, Emily, that we need to address?
No, I think we're good. I'll work with, well, I don't know whether I could contact Amy directly, but we'll get some things over to the library and in your hands, and let's get a little visibility.
I'll give her some of the FAQ sheets right now that she can walk with.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can email them.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Brenda.
Any other questions?
Good for tonight.
Okay.
I'll keep in contact with this so that way I can.
So, would there be a motion to
adjourn?
No.
Yes.
No. Kevin.
Yes,
did
sir.
Did you approve put out the approval for the minutes?
I did not, because I could not make copies for anybody because the room was locked.
Okay. All right.
So we're gonna next meeting, we're gonna have to approve a few different minutes.
Okay.
Previous meetings.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. I'll second that.
Okay.
Aye. Brenda?
Yes.
We are adjourned.
Nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.